All right, everybody, episode 30. We made it to the third decade. So episode 30, Mock the Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we thought it would be cool to talk a little bit about production in general. It's one thing to create an idea and then to sell an idea, but then you have to bring the idea to life. So thought that would be a cool topic, and to do so, brought in a good friend of mine and the first art director that I worked with in the business.
What's up?
Matt Blackburn.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Matt works with a company, or owns a company, called Order, and they're a content company and production company. So he, among other things, has created tons of great content and produced a lot of cool things, including documentaries and stuff. We can talk about some of that. But anyway, thought it would be cool to talk about production. So tell us a little bit, I guess, about Order and what you guys do and how you approach production, and we'll just kind of get right into it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So as you mentioned, you know, you and I worked together a long time ago as a creative team in the early 2000s.
Right.
So did a tour in the advertising world myself, and really was exposed to a lot of the gauntlet that creative runs to be, you know, created and brought forth into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we wanted to focus on the production aspects, the live action aspects, animation portion of it. And so I branched off and started Order in 2016. And one of the things that we set out to do was to really be able to bolt onto a creative team as an extension of their team to help them navigate that gauntlet of handing off a project from the approval of a concept to the creation of a concept, which, as you know, can be, it can be a lot of things. It can be stressful. It can be, you know, really hard to keep the integrity of the work intact.
Right.
And a lot of things like that, because you've got a lot of players involved, right? You've got basically three verticals. You've got the production company, you've got the agency, and you've got the client. And in each one of those verticals, you have different stakeholders who have different visions about how that creative could be brought to life.
Yep.
Either personal preference or what's right for the brand, and usually a combination of both of those things. So how do you get all of those stakeholders together on the same page?
You know?
So that then, you know, you can bring it to life so that everyone's expectations are hopefully exceeded.
Right.
And so what we do is we start by really listening and understanding what the idea is. You know, we really want to understand what that vision is, what the tone of it is that wants to be brought forth. As you know, like if you talk about, for example, a intergalactic antagonist who's kidnapped a princess, that could be Star Wars or it can be Spaceballs.
Right.
You know,
Both excellent.
And, you know, if you've got an agency who wants to do something with a more comedic bend to it,
right,
you know, a la Spaceballs, and a client whose vision is a little more Star Wars, you know, it's when you get on set, if those two things, visions aren't even closely aligned, there's going to be a lot of, you know,
yeah,
you're set up for failure. Yeah.
Right.
For everyone's sake. And a lot of times, obviously, it's a big investment. It's a big investment for the agency. It's a big investment for the client. And, you know, we want to make sure that the work gets sees the light of day and in the best possible way. But the way we do that, as I mentioned, is first by listening and then really trying to work with the creative team to nail down their vision of how this idea best comes to life.
Right.
You know, so we go into the exploration of, you know, working off of the mood boards and the storyboards that are provided in scripts to really dial in that the appropriate tone that they have in mind. So it really is, you know, is it more Spaceballs? Is it more Star Wars, to stick with that analogy? And then thinking about ways to use the medium holistically, so that we're dialing in everything from, you know, the score to the SFX sound effects to the visuals, to lens selection, with, you know, how we evoke emotions, the appropriate emotions with that. And that's where the creative opportunity is for us, as
yeah,
we see it, you know.
Well, it's kind of like another analogy, it's kind of like building a house, right? And so it's the relationship almost between the architect and the builder, right? Mm-hmm. The architect comes up with the ideas and draws them up, and they look beautiful and great. And then the builder comes in and goes, okay, well, yes, we can do this, but here's how we're going to make that happen, and tries to figure out how to build the actual house. And right. Sometimes those things are in perfect alignment, but a lot of times they're not quite. And the builder is going to come in and go, you know what? That's a beautiful door that you drew up, sliding glass, whatever, but we can't really do that. We're going to need to make it 12 inches smaller here, or a foot bigger here, or whatever else. So I think that goes back to that true partnership and what everybody sort of brings to the table in terms of skill sets and bringing the thing to life, right?
Absolutely. And in sticking with your analogy, there's also, you know, there's sometimes budget implications
right.
on that too.
Right.
So you've got another boundary or guardrails.
Often the most important.
Of budget. Yes.
Budget, right.
Right. So what can we do in budget that's going to, you know, keep the aesthetic integrity
right.
intact and be able to be functional
yeah.
at the same time.
So do you bring in outside shooters, or do you guys shoot, or how does that work?
So we shoot. Okay. We bring in crew, obviously, from a support standpoint.
Sure.
You know, to make it happen.
Sure.
And you know, that's technically another vertical, I suppose, you know, where you have to have, you know, everyone aligned. That's building, you know, to your analogy again, like, you know, the folks who are actually putting the house together need that solid blueprint,
right.
you know, to be able to do it, obviously. And, you know, that's another part of the process that is important, is that planning and sort of pre-viz phase,
yeah.
you know, and one of the things that we found success in is being able to, you know, take a storyboard and, you know, once we get that visual tone nailed, is to be able to bring those shooting boards to life in a way that's going to provide an accurate description of what the composition of the shot's going to be, including depth of field, like, you know, lighting. And so we actually render those shots, you know, using multiple 3D packages to give an accurate representation of exactly what that shot's going to look like in terms of scale, in terms of subject matter, in relation to the camera, how much of the frame they're taking up, what the lighting looks like.
Yeah.
And what that provides is not only a great roadmap for the stakeholders within the agency and on the client side, but it literally provides a schematic for the crew. So they know
right.
exactly where the lights need to be.
Right.
They know what lens package we're using to set up the camera and all that. So when you sit down and you look at the monitor, once the first shot is set up, it's basically pixel for pixel what you've seen
yeah.
in the shooting boards, which alleviates a lot of stress. And, you know, just getting that alignment across.
Do you find that, like, I know we do sometimes, but sometimes clients, I think, maybe don't fully understand everything that goes into bringing something to life,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think that certainly in the age of technology that we're in, where everybody's got an iPhone and thinks they're a photographer now, you know, or you know, this chat stuff going on. Everybody's a writer now,
right,
too. All you
got to
do is ask Google. But we find that sometimes that you know, here's a great idea. Wow. To bring that to life and to see their vision is going to take a lot really, of time, effort, money, skill, all of those things. Do you run into that often or not so much?
Oh my gosh, man. If I had, you know, a dollar for every time I heard the clients, you know, short of suggesting to shoot it with an iPhone.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because obviously with the cinematic mode and a lot of the advertisements that Apple does to show the capabilities of the
right.
of the phone, it really does blur the lines for a lot of clients that don't understand the nuanced difference between shooting
right.
with, you know, a Zeiss lens versus, you know, a fixed wide angle on your phone.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that is a challenge, and it's you know, that really is difficult when you get into the nuance, because a lot of that also comes back to subjectivity,
yeah,
you know, and
right.
and sort of a taste level. But again, you can you can get over that hurdle in the pre-production phase,
right?
Showing the difference between, you know, and you know, to introduce another analogy, like we've used for years, is the car analogy. You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, yes, you can buy a car for $20,000, you know, but if you want a luxury experience,
right,
you're going to have to spend a little bit more. And it's like showing the visual, you know, parallels to that.
Yep.
You know, it's you can kind of do it. And usually you can get people there.
We use the car analogy often.
Yes, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you want the Honda Civic or do you want the Bentley?
Right.
Well, both have four wheels.
It'll get you where you want to go.
Both have engines and steering wheels and will get you where you need to go.
But again, when you get into the nuance, it's like you could also have a stock version of that car.
Right.
But man, the seat warmers are really nice.
They sure are.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know about the autopilot. That freaks me out.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
It's a little sketchy. Well, let's shifting gears for a second. I want to talk quickly. Just give us kind of the. You shot a documentary in Nepal, I believe.
That's correct.
Kangling.
Yeah. Blue Kangling.
Tell us a little bit about that and that what that experience was like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, It started out as an idea for a pilot. We wanted to do a series on the idea of the concept of death, how different cultures experience, express, process the concept of death, with, you know, the different pageantry that's involved, the different ceremonies that are involved. And we found this burial ceremony that Buddhists perform called a sky burial, where basically they take the body, the deceased body, to a mountain peak, and they offer it to vultures, and vultures come, descend on the body, and dispose of it.
That's heavy stuff.
It's very heavy, and it's very symbolic to the Buddhist philosophy. It's very sacred. Obviously, they believe the vultures are representations. They call them dakinis, which are sky angels that descend down and take the body to the heavenly realm.
Right.
And so, when we got into it, once we started to sort of uncover more of the symbolism and the philosophy, and as we started to actually have conversations with people in the culture, you know, we felt like we uncovered something that was worthy of a full feature length.
Yeah.
You know? So we decided to just make it into a feature length. But you know, one of the things that we set out to do was get the perspective of you know, people within the culture to not only show like a collective consciousness or a collective, you know, idea view of it, but also, you know, people in their clergy who perform different aspects of the ceremony,
yeah,
but also, you know, people who are just, you know, living the philosophy on a day-to-day basis, you know.
So let me ask this question, thinking about it from a production standpoint, right, getting back to the initial idea, you've got this great idea. Cool idea, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Step one to making it a reality, right? When we move into pre-production, who do you call? What do you do? What's the step one? And to get, because I imagine that's not an easy conversation to have for them to let you into this ceremony that's sacred and, you know.
Correct. Yeah. Well, a lot of it was a leap of faith, to be honest with you. You know, because we had to trust the information that we got was accurate, you know,
right,
where the stuff that we were able to source. And then, you know, how do we get access to these people?
Right.
Was a big one. And obviously because it's a documentary, we're not following a script. We don't have the luxury of, you know, being able to plan around the
right
shots and have control over what people are going to say.
Right.
So we found a production partner in Nepal that could act as sort of line producers on the ground that could get us access to the people that we needed, get us the locations that we were hoping to get. And you know, they were able to logistically kind of put things together. But we were, you know, we were in one of the two remaining Buddhist kingdoms in the upper Mustang district of Nepal. The other one being Bhutan, where they literally have a king that represents the kingdom.
Yeah.
And we were in very remote places. You know, we were in the Himalayas, like around 16 to 18,000 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. So
how long were you there?
We were there for a month.
Wow.
Yeah. And so very limited resources in terms of electricity, obviously no Wi-Fi, none of that. So we had to plan for those scenarios.
Sure.
And one of the things that we wanted to do to present it as authentic as possible was to keep the, and also from a logistics standpoint, was to keep the production itself nimble and small.
Yeah.
So we were using available light. We were using one camera.
How big was the crew?
There were six of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Seven.
Okay.
Yeah. We had four from the production company in Nepal, and
right.
then we brought three people over.
It was yeah.
myself, my partner, who's the DP, and so many other things, but, and a producer.
Yeah.
From our end.
That's incredible. I mean, and I've seen the movie. It turned out great. It's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
But what a cool experience.
Yeah.
Just for you to have.
Oh, it was amazing.
I mean, a month in Nepal, like
yeah.
just exploring the, that's insane.
There may have been some selfish intentions.
I can imagine, you
yeah.
know, and we've talked in previous podcasts about why we love the business. And a lot of it is the learning that we, and the experiences that we get to have in different places. And that certainly seems like it would be a pretty awesome one.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you know, one of the things that that we kind of uncovered, I think it might have been subconsciously to some degree, but you know, to really see at the end of the day, these people who live and operate under a certain philosophy, very different from a Western philosophy, in a very remote place, just how similar they are as people, you know,
yeah.
how at the end of the day, people are people, like
yeah.
people have the same, very similar motivations. They want the same things out of life, you know, and it was really interesting, from an experiential standpoint to see that, you know, and,
yeah.
and that actually kind of surfaced to a bigger role in the piece and
yeah.
in the film, you know,
is to
kind of prove that, you know, at the end of the day, we're all kind of motivated by the same things.
That's awesome. Well, we got to kind of wrap up here, but tell, for anybody who wants to see the movie, go watch the movie. And I encourage you to do so. It's really, really well, really, really well made. And just a cool
Appreciate
story.
That.
Like it's just a neat, corner of the world. Where can people?
People can find it on Loco Plus.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, Loco Plus is a really cool thing. They're actually a streaming platform that started here in Atlanta. They're looking to, really be a launch pad for local artists, and local creators. And, yeah, you can find it on
the Loco
Plus.
Very cool. And the movie again is called Blue Kangling.
Blue Kangling. And
yeah.
a little bit of backstory on that. The Kangling is a flute that is made from a human femur.
Whoa.
That they use to summon the vultures.
Flemur?
Femur.
Flute? Flemur?
Flemur. Yes. I guess
flemur.
If you will. Yeah. A flemur. Flemur.
So bad.
Femur flute.
So bad.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, hey, thanks for stopping by
thanks
today.
For
this
having
was super
me,
fun
man.
Chat and very, very cool stuff.
Appreciate it.
And we'll have you back some other time. But right now, we got to take off. So we will see everybody next time.
Thank you so much.